Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I just came back from 2.5 days of teaching. I've spent the weekend with about 50, 60 people. And as always, and I don't do this all the time anymore, but I may go back to doing it more often because it really is eye-opening to the reality of what's going on in this world. Not that anything's different going on now than it has in the past or whatever. It's just the reality of the pain of life. You know, you go in there and you show people the opportunity to change their life and become financially free, to buy back their life from corporate America, to have time to do what they want, when they want, whenever they want, with whoever they want. And I guess as importantly is to have money to be able to afford to do it, because, you know, if you had some time but no money, you probably couldn't do a lot. But even if you have a lot of money, you don't have any time. And what I've found to be true over the years is that when you meet people and they're happen-chancing through life, trying to decide, you know, what's it all about? I find that the people that haven't hit rock bottom yet generally aren't ready to start making those kinds of giant decisions. And yet I found that the people that do hit rock bottom generally have to do something. They're kind of forced into it. It kind of puts them in that position. And then some, of course, don't. They just destroy themselves at that point. This sounds all kind of sad, I know, but it really was kind of sad to me to talk to these people and see so many people that just did not believe there was an opportunity for them to get ahead in this world. Don't get me wrong. Some people took the information, got excited. We're working with them right now. They will be growing as far as their knowledge of real estate investing, they will be growing financially if they do actually do the deals and so on and so forth. So I don't want to sound, you know, like nobody there was interested. What I want to say is I was surprised at how many people couldn't make a decision in their life. So many people. So what do I mean by this? Well, I used to always say what gets in the way of a great life, and I'd say a good life. And, you know, people like that, they never really hit rock bottom. They've got a job. They make good income. They've got a house. They got a family. You know, the relationship is maybe soured or in their relationship with their family because they couldn't invest enough time to make it what they'd like it to be. You know, the husband-wife relationship, the child-parent relationships, they get soured. But they just keep going on because there's no real rock bottom. So if you never really hit rock bottom, you never really see what you can do because you're not even really looking. You're just accepting life for what it offers you, right? That's what you do. And when you're in that position, you're living this life of quiet desperation. What I want you to understand is that there's this surface. On the surface, you're okay up here. People see you, hi, got a smile. Yeah, we went out to eat dinner last night. Yeah, the kids are going to Little League. All the basic stuff happens in your life. But it's below that surface. It's down here somewhere that you're going, wow, why don't I feel it? Why don't I get up every morning with exuberance for life? What is happening to me or me and us, to my family, to my spouse? What's going on? Now, I had a guy tell me a story that, by the way, I asked him if I could tell the story. I'm leaving out the names of the city and the job and all that kind of stuff so that you can't really tell who it is. But it's an interesting story because he had come to see me many, many years ago. And back when he did, he had already been at that point where he was living a life of quiet desperation. And he explained to me that when he had come in before, he didn't get started doing anything because he knew he was going to have to break up with his wife. They hadn't had sex for many years. They were tolerating each other, I guess maybe just so the kids, you know, they could stay together for the kids and so forth. But at some point, he said, it just got so unbelievably painful to be there that they decided they had to break it off. But they didn't want to get divorced for the kids. And believe it or not, they financially thought they're better off by not getting divorced because then they would have to sell some of the stuff they had and it would have lost value to sell it and whatever. And they thought what they agreed to do was she would stay in the house and he would move out type of deal. And he did that, and he moved out. So now their income is cut in two. They're living in two households. And whereas they were fairly successful, I think he made like $180,000 a year is what he told me. That $180,000 a year split between two households is now $90,000 a year. So he's down further into the light of quiet desperation. He said it was an unbelievable relief to him to get out of that house, just the aura that he lived in every day. And eventually he found himself a girlfriend and spent time with her. But then he had to take care of her. He had to buy her a car. You know, it's a whole new thing every time you go to a new one. You got to buy her a car. You got to buy her, you know, jewelry and purses and all the stuff you already bought your wife the first one around. And each time you got to reload the gift bucket. And he said, I just never really got financially back on my feet ever after we broke up. And I said, well, what are you doing here now? Why did you come back if that was the case? He said, because my wife got cancer. And with her getting cancer, we really couldn't afford to live in two different houses anymore because somebody had to take care of her. She's going to die, and she's going to die fairly soon. So I figured I'll move back into the home, help her, take care of her till she dies, and then I'll take possession of our assets in whole. And at that point, I know I need to do something. I know my life needs to go forward. I'm back again because I'm thinking about doing this time. And of course, I said, okay, great. I understand that's a really sad story. You're ready to get going. But he couldn't. Because the problem with that story is that the story is not over. She's not dead yet. God, that sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds incredibly mean and heartless. But he's waiting for her to die. Not because he wants her to die. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. He has to fulfill the rest of that life of quiet desperation that he signed up for and wait till his wife is gone. He has to do that for retaining his assets. He has to do that. Probably not. That's not number one, probably, I bet. He has to do it to fulfill his responsibility to his children, to show that he was a father, he was a husband at one point. And so he's fulfilling that requirement to be the man that he was expected to be for 35, 40 years. But that 35 and 40 years are gone now. He saw me 20 years ago. He's back now. And sure, you know, once the wife passes, and then he's got to take care of all of the legal issues, get all the assets back under his control again. He then will have the time and he'll have the money to think about changing some things and getting out of his job. But right now, all he can do is think about his job, maintaining the income necessary to maintain his assets, to maintain his domicile for his wife to pass in, to pay for the hospice people to come in to take care of her. And all I want to get across with this story, I know it sounds so mean to tell it, is that that's how your life ends. So let's move on. I sat with one guy at lunch, and he was telling me a story. He said, you know, Del, I've been thinking about doing this for a long time. I work in the hospitality industry, which means I'm gone all the time. I'm never around. And he said, you know, I miss the things in life that are so minuscule, but yet the most important. They hold the most meaning. The stuff that means the most to him. Stuff like he's not there late at night for his kids. He's not there on the weekends for his kids. He's not there on the holidays for his kids. You know, he says, just missing bedtime every day. Missing his kids' birthdays was another one he talked about. It was really painful. But the one that got him, and remember I said, it's not the people that just are getting along that have a good life that miss the opportunity to have a great life. The good life people are okay. It's the people that hit rock bottom. It's that time when something happens that changes everything. For the guy I told you the story about in the last segment where he found out his wife had cancer, it was like, you know what? This has all got to come to an end now. And all of that stuff that we did just to exist in between for the last 20 years, it's all got to come to an end. I've got to get my life back, right? So I'm talking to this guy, and he's saying, look, this guy that works hospitality, he's busy all the time. He said, this year on midnight of New Year's Eve, his 9-year-old son called him at work. Get that. Your 9-year-old kid calls you at work and says, Daddy, please promise me you won't miss any more of my birthdays, holidays, and other events with me. Please promise me this year you'll be here with me. And, you know, he went through that and said, I was just choked up. And when I got off the phone, he said, I sat there for 2 hours. Because I couldn't even work. I sat there for 2 hours. I didn't go to bed that night till 3 o'clock in the morning. He just couldn't sleep. When he did, he laid there wide awake. And he's saying to himself, I got to find another way. There's got to be another way. Then he goes on and says, well, he had been listening to the radio show, but never really even thought that it'd be something he could do or would do or so forth. And I found that to be true, that most people, it's not that they don't believe you can build passive streams of income. It's not that they don't believe you can make a lot of money investing in real estate if done correctly. It's that they believe they can't do it. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too aggressive. I'm not aggressive enough. It doesn't fit my job description. My job is too many hours. It doesn't fit my job description because I don't make enough money to have enough money to invest. In fact, one of the things somebody said in the seminar, which I hear quite often, by the way, is that, guy says, you mean to tell me I could own an apartment complex? I said, of course. Who do you think owns all these? He goes, I thought for sure it was Wall Street owned all this stuff. Nobody owns an apartment complex. You're telling me that thousands of Lifestyles members own apartment complexes? I said, yeah, we own apartment complexes. Who do you think owns all that stuff? But the truth is, as I scan the room and ask everybody, not a single person thought, other than the ones that were members or were referred by other members, believed that you could own an apartment complex. They go, yeah, I knew I could own a rent house. I never knew I could own an apartment complex. Just mind-boggling stuff to understand what people don't understand. They don't even have the slightest. And I think to myself, I've been on the radio for 30 years. I've been teaching for 36 years. And I think, why do people not know? I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Why don't they know? And I kind of posed that question at a cocktail party. After we spent the 2.5 days together, we went out for cocktails and then dinner at an expensive restaurant to get to know each other better. All the people who signed up, there was about 30 people with me that were new people that we were working with and getting signed up, they were already signed up, but we were getting them involved with our trainers and mentors and all the people who are already successful in the group, you know, so they get to start networking in. And it was really interesting to see how they had such massive disbelief before they showed up for the weekend. It wasn't disbelief in the product. It was disbelief in themselves. They didn't believe they could do it. That's a scary thing. All of them had their little story, their little form of quiet desperation, you know, and there was lots of them. There were, believe it or not, a couple people, I think maybe 3 people that were foreigners, and they didn't know if they could buy real estate or not. I don't know why they even came if they didn't think they could, but They were afraid they couldn't, but yes, they could have. They didn't actually believe me because I think it's a very big leap for a foreigner to believe an American. I get that. I mean, you know, it's an untrustworthy situation. But the bottom line is that they think get a college degree and get a job. That's what they're taught their whole life. Most foreigners are taught get a college degree, get a job, get a good job, get a great job, save a lot of money, and then buy stuff all by yourself, pay cash for it. And they buy the worst of investments too, because they don't know. They're not open to information and education because they come from such a very small mindset of previous information, which is sad. But, you know, you see that kind of stuff and I sit back and go, is it really this hard to be successful? It really kind of blew my mind. I haven't taught in a while, you know, so I had forgotten. I only remembered all the people we helped and how excited they were and, you know, the people and the money they're making, the stories we tell, and those excited people tell the new people. And that was the only part of it I remember. But I forgot the little private stories people would tell me about things, like the kid thing. And that guy, by the way, went on and is totally involved. He's right now decided he was going to do multifamily instead of single. He didn't even think he could do single. And now he's going to do multifamily. So, you know, once you get in there and you get the information, you see that you can do this stuff, it will open up some blinds and the light will come in the window. And all of a sudden you'll understand that it's possible for you to do stuff you never thought you could do. But so many people are out there living this life of quiet desperation, day after day after day after day, not believing that they can get out of it, just no belief. And then you wake up, and this is the funny thing. You do that for 20 years. It doesn't really kill you. You're living there in this life of quiet desperation that's just good enough to make you think you're okay. Your wife doesn't hate you. Your kids don't hate you. You've got a job. You've got a house. You've got a 401k. You've got all of the component parts that say you have a good life. But, man, you sure are miserable. You sure don't have a great life. And that's the problem. You're not even open to looking at the opportunity to have a great life. When you were broke, a good life sounded great. Now that you have a good life, a great life seems impossible. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Tired of chasing trends or guessing what works? Lifestyles Unlimited teaches a strategy-focused approach to real estate investing that starts with education. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, if you'd like to send us an email, because I'm going to go to the email bag right now and pull out an email. That's why I'm thinking of this. If you want to send us an email, send it to AskDel, that's A-S-K-D-E-L, AskDel at L-U-I-N-C.com. I will respond to your email, and if it's a good one, I might go ahead and put it on the radio because it help other people. If I do put it on the radio, I won't use your name, your address, or your city, state, anything that would identify who you are, your job, or whatever you talk about. I'll make it as ambiguous as possible, simply for your privacy. But yeah, those emails are always good. I always enjoy them. And many people here enjoy them when they hear them, when you get here. So go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and go into the mailbag. And I got one here that fits sort of the genre of today's conversation. And that is, I got a promotion, but it didn't help. That's the title of the email I got. It said, I got a promotion I wanted, it didn't help. The raise, the title, the corner office, extra direct reports, extra hours, all of it. Exactly what I thought I was working toward for 3 years. He goes on and said, I sat down at my new desk first Monday, and I felt worse than I did the Friday before. That was the moment I realized the problem wasn't the job. The problem was the thing I was working towards, requiring me to keep working forever. That's when I found your radio show. So here it is. In your mind, you believe that there's something that's going to trigger at your job a better life. More money, more power, more prestige, I don't know what it is, all of the above. And all of a sudden, life's going to be better. But that isn't going to give you more time with your kids. It's not going to give you more time with your spouse. It's not going to give you more time for health and fitness. It's not going to give you more time to read books, to change your intellectual perspective of life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All it's going to do is give you more work. And what's interesting about this, and this is the one that I think is the most brutal of all of it. He summarizes it here. He says, all it was signing up for more of something that will never let me go. There's no end to working. What is the ultimate end result? To stop working. But everything you're dreaming for in working is to get more work, to get a better job, higher pay, bigger office, more reports reporting to you, more responsibility, more pressure, more stress. How is that success? It just creates more pressure. What I'm suggesting you do, what I found, what I was lucky enough to find, come on. 95% of success is lucking onto something. You lucked onto this radio show. I lucked onto something else. Something, after I looked at franchises, I looked at, you know, all different kinds of little businesses I could set up, which were just, you know, do I want to be a painter? Do I want to be a plumber? What kind of business do I want to own? You know, what do I want to sell? What do I want to do? Do I want to open my own health club? Because I was working in health clubs. That's another dumb one. Whatever you do, let's go do what we do. But I started buying real estate because somebody convinced me that real estate would work, and it did. And what I was doing was creating passive streams of income. What made sense to me was I was buying my life back in small chunks. Every time I would buy another piece of real estate, it would be another chunk of income that was buying my life back. There was an end. You could see the end. But with the job, all I could ever see were people dying. I live in a subdivision right now where the male on one side of me died, and her husband was her third husband. She already had a divorce from one. One died, and a second one died. She just got married again, and she married a guy 20 years younger than her. I guess she figured she better, you know, she's like 75. She married some guy like 55. She goes, I got to get one younger. They just keep dying off on me. The lady across the street from me on the other side, her husband died. He was like 74 years old. He died. She's living alone. She's miserable. I mean, every single night, she comes outside, walks around with her dog, drinking. She's drunk all the time. And I don't mean to throw her under the bus. I mean, I've been known to have a few drinks myself. But this lady is chronically depressed. There's nothing left for her. Got money, but money wasn't the life. She's already lost her son. Now she's lost her husband. I'm just telling you this because the lady right around behind me, I just found out, is dying. She's dying of cancer. So all the way around me, on all three, I live on a corner. I live on a corner, so imagine there's three houses around me. All three houses, people are dying off or have died off or are dead already. And you go, What does that mean to you? Are you going to work until you die? Now, I'm being adamant here because I just spent 2.5 days with 50 people. And you can't even imagine how many people have no plan other than work for the rest of their life. I talked to one lady, she just went through a divorce. She's gun shy. I mean, she is scared to death. What am I going to do? I've been married. I don't know how to not be married. I don't know how to support myself. And I said, well, you know, her new boyfriend brought her. I said, you know, you should look at some investing and stuff. And no matter how much she was interested with it, you could just sense that deep down inside she was emotionally destroyed still. She wasn't ready to pick up the chips and move on. Maybe 6 months, maybe a year she'll be ready. But you have to understand this. Your life is going to go on in just quiet desperation until you break the mold somehow. I want to read you this thing. This is the definition of quiet desperation. I found this year again when I was looking for where I came up with that term. And it really comes from Walden's Pond, the book Walden's Pond. And who wrote that? It was David Thoreau. So here's his definition. I just want to read this to you again. To live a life of quiet desperation is to exist in a state where one's outward life appears stable or even successful. But inwardly, there's a profound sense of emptiness, unfulfillment, and resignation. This concept, right, describes a silent internal struggle where the individuals feel trapped by social expectations, social routines that lack any personal meaning whatsoever. In other words, you get up and do the same thing every day because you're expected to do so. You have a job. You have a family. You just do what you're expected to do. But there's no internal fulfillment in your life. And what I'm saying is what happened when I was 27 years of age, I was working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. I did that for 12 years. At the point where I started buying these pieces of real estate, 2.5 years later, I had picked up enough real estate to replace the amount of earned income I took home after taxes so that I was earning as much on my passive income, taking home as much on my passive income as I was on my earned income, which gave me the choice to let go of my job. Some people it takes 5 years, some people might take 7. I've had a lot of people do it in less than I did it and kind of laugh at me. David Fisher used to always laugh. He would always tell people he did it in 2 years. I took 2.5. He told me I was slow. It's irrelevant, guys. The bottom line is you're going to wake up 5 years from now and you're going to be right where you're at. You're probably going to wake up 20 years from now. In fact, the desperation is the 20-year concept, right? And the reason I bring the 20 years up, because a guy wrote an email to me, and it had to do with the 20 years. And I'm going to read it to you because it really kind of narrows in on what we're talking about on this life of quiet desperation. But most people work from age 20 to age 60, right? So it's 40 years. So by the time you get to 40, you've been working 20, you got 20 more ahead of you. You wake up. I work 12 years, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. For 12 years, and thinking that I had to do it for another 12 blew my mind. But at the time, I was still only 30 years of age, so I had to do it for another 30 till you're 60. I would have had it done for another 30. After 12, I was destroyed. But to think I had to do it for another 30, just I hit rock bottom. You know, you have to hit rock bottom before you can climb out, usually. Because if you're living that life of quiet desperation, everything on the surface seems okay. So you don't really think you've got any problems. You don't think you have any problems until you hit rock bottom. Something special has to happen. Health might be the one that gets some of you. Lose your job might be one to get you. Divorce is a good one. That pops people, wakes people up sometimes, whatever it is. But this is just common sense when this guy sent me. I love this. I can read this to you. He says, I looked at the people that were 20 years ahead of me at my company. They were ahead of me. They had and made more money than I did. They have more experience. They have more security. They had better titles. Yet even though they had all of these, they were still complaining about the scheduling, about the politics, about the same annoyances that bug, and I won't use the word, bug the bejeebers out of him, right? They were all complaining about the same grind that I was. But there was only one difference, Del. They all had gray hair. That was the second 20 years you could look forward to. You do the first 20 young and full of excitement and exuberance, thinking you're going to get somewhere. And then 20 years later, you wake up and go, this doesn't really lead to anything except more of the same. There really is no get off on a job. Jobs should be contract labor. You say, okay, I'm going to work for this number of hours, this number of years, days, weeks, months, years, and then it's over. To be in a job that is, in your mind, guaranteeing you a lifetime of success is, number one, probably ridiculous in this day and age. But number two, even worse, even if it does provide you income for the rest of your life, there's no get off. There's no off ramp. There's no stop. You wake up one day, I'm 70 years old. You're going to be 70 someday. You're going to wake up. In fact, you may not live to 70 because, like I said, in my neighborhood, there's two or three guys that have died. I know tons of people younger than me that have died. People that I grew up with that are dead. Athletes that I competed against that are dead. Now, I feel pretty good. Knock on wood, tomorrow I might drop over too for some reason, but I don't seem to have any health issues anymore. Had them when I was younger. Seem healthier now. But a lot of that is because I had the time to exercise and to diet and to take care of myself. I had the money to get the doctor necessary when I got cancer to solve it and save me, right? All the other stuff. So I had money for operations of different types that I've had to keep me alive. In fact, I joke all the time. I said, I think I'm probably a bunch of used parts that just been sewn back together. I laugh at that. Because I feel great. I feel healthy. But I think of people going to work at 60, 65, 70 years of age, going, how do you do it? I mean, I spent 2 days with people doing what I like to do, which is to teach, with people I like, which are my students. I just had an incredibly fun 2 days that you would call a job. If I had to get back up, that was 2 days. If I had to get back up today and tomorrow and the next day, no matter how much I loved doing that, if I would have had to get up and drive in every day and stand there for 8 hours or work in an office for 8 hours, because that's how long the seminars were. They were 8 hours Saturday, 8 hours Sunday. And then we had a four-hour thing on Friday night, and then we went out Sunday night for cocktails and dinner. That wasn't that hard to do, laughingly. But the bottom line is, neither was teaching the 2 8-hour classes because I love them and because I only do it once in a while. As soon as you make it that you have to get up every single day, whether it's Monday through Friday, or whether you work like the guy in the email where he says he's hospitality. He works weekends and nights and holidays. He works when everybody else doesn't, whichever it is. If you have to do that over and over and over again, you're going to end up living a life of quiet desperation. So what do I want you to do? I want you to just take advantage of this opportunity. Go to your phone and text the word radio. And when you get there, you're going to find a free class you can take and an opportunity to sign up for my class or Lifestyles if you want for only $297. You don't have to sign up. Take the free class. Find out if you're interested in what we do. But remember this, it's not about money. It's about a lifestyle. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.